talking about a conspiracy over 2 decades in the making. We'll uncover the truth about what's really going on at Halloween Horror Nights. The signs are everywhere, hiding in. How many times have you gone? Yes,
what the?
Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bela Lugosi's Undead. I'm AJ.
And I'm Spooky Ryan.
And today we are talking about Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando.
Yeah,
and boy. Also this year, technically we're going to talk about California, but I'm not going to be like a dick about it because I'm going and Ryan's not.
Yeah, so
I'm visiting my family out in October, so I am going to be able to go and do it this year. But for the most part, a lot of the things that got announced today, which we are recording on July 28th, apparently HHN Day.
Nice. I know, they dropped like literally everything all in one day.
Yeah, we are used to them dropping stuff like over like every few weeks. You get like one house every once in a while for like months, and then all of a sudden today they're like, by the way, here's 7.5 houses, 5 scare zones, just do with it whatever you want. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I guess, because they're also counting Chucky as a just announced, even though he was technically announced on like the last night of last year's HHN.
Yeah, they basically
but they're confirming the fact that he's got a house, what the house is named, and all of that stuff. So,
you know what's interesting? I'm looking at the differences. There's only 8 houses in California, which is
Yes, HHN California has a smaller map. The park is smaller, but they make up for it by having the tram tour.
I know. I saw the Terror Tram. I've never heard that before.
So Terror Tram is a big deal out there. They already have a tram tour that just regularly runs off of the back lots.
Oh, because it's actually back lots. I mean, there's back lots in Orlando too, but it's not like back lots.
The ones out there, they are making movies on. And the one in Orlando, we get like LaVos Kids. And we get like American Gladiators and stuff like that, which can be very cool.
Yes.
But I can promise you that being out there, it's very different.
Yeah.
For example, last year on the tram tour, they stopped at the Nope set. Dropped you off at like the old West Gold mining town that Steven Yeun runs, and you had to walk back to, and so it was like a scare zone.
That's so cool.
On Juniper's Claim. So that's awesome. That's kind of like what they do, and the scare zone was us.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing that they do out in California. So to make up for the fact that they have less houses, they will add on something cool like that. Yeah. They've also had Dementors for a few years. Mm. And that seems to be coming to HHN Universal as well in Florida.
Really?
So, yes.
In the Harry Potter area?
Yes. Wow. So we'll be seeing that's Dementors dope. Out and about. Now, okay, so we were already off track, but we kind of do get this way with Halloween Horror Nights. We're super pumped for it, as you can probably tell. We'll be going in mid-September this year, and then we'll be dropping our episode, and then I will be going again in October for the California version, and I'll be dropping an episode on that, probably a solo pod, unless I can find a friend who's also going to go out there and do it with me. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, let's go ahead and talk about the cool news of today. So like I said, 7.5 houses. We already kind of discussed Chucky. So let's kind of go ahead and jump right into that. Now, just a full disclosure on our end. Ryan and I like a lot of horror things. And I think the one big glaring thing that him and I cannot get on board with
yeah.
is Chucky. neither of us really enjoy the Child's Play movies. I think that the extent of our enjoyment of it is the first movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if Ryan has that. I do.
Yeah.
But
it's fine.
So it's just one of those weird things that sometimes it doesn't vibe with you. And Chucky is one of those things for us. Yeah. But we are getting the new haunted house this year. Chucky Ultimate Kill Count. The serial killer doll is back for a new gore fest. He's hijacked his haunted house with all kinds of bloody hijinks. You and your friends must try to survive his ultimate kill count. Nice. Any thoughts on this one, Ryan?
Well, I'm super glad they're not basing it on the TV series, because I tried. I tried. I got two episodes in, and I'm like, okay, at least I don't have to finish it, because it'll just be like random kills. I'm sure there's going to be like fan pieces that'll make fans happy, but I'm just happy that I don't have to watch a series that I have just no interest in.
I think I'm going to try to power through and watch the show. I've had moments where I've been like, this is not the worst. I've had other moments where I'm like, this is really, really testing my patience. But hey, some people, like I said, it's just not our kind of thing anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't really help.
Yeah. And that's the reviews I was reading about it is like, basically, if you like Chucky, it like feels really good for you. But if you didn't like it, it said it's like not going to convert you. Like, it's not converting anyone over to, like,
Chucky. I would pretty much agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's also very difficult to do a show that's about a slasher killer where you actually establish stakes episode to episode.
Yeah.
Because that was my bigger issue, was Chucky's killing people, and that's interesting, but I also didn't have any stakes for some of those kills in the episodes that I've watched. Like, the poor woman who's just doing the dishes. I guess she's dead, but we'll see. I will continue to watch the show so I can write up a preview of the house and potentially nod towards some kills I think that they'll be introducing. But it seems like they're trying to almost spin this off into its own direction, so we'll see.
Absolutely. All right. So I guess another way that we could go to AJ is like just breaking down the property houses and just generally how we feel about the property houses. So there's four this year. Well, technically five, right?
Technically five, yeah.
Universal and Masks. But I'll go first. I mean, I'm interested to see what they do with Stranger Things. Like, you know, they've been doing really well, you know, since the Poltergeist. Right. With properties, making, you know, these properties that you're like, OK, there's some interesting things going on in the show, but I'm interested. I think it might be actually legitimately scary. I think there's going to be less. They've been less and less interested in like being like, oh, I remember that scene, and making it actually legitimately scary. Right.
Yes, I would agree with that for sure. So we're obviously going to have some of the hallmark moments of the show. Like, we're definitely going to hear running up that hill randomly through the house. I think we're going to go into Vecna's haunted house, which was actually scary as shit.
Yes.
In the context of the show. So I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
I'm just curious about the overall vibes of the house in terms of, like, what aspects are they going to actively try to include? Which aspects are they going to be skipping over?
Right. I'm interested to see because, as well.
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily need to stop by, like, the pizza place.
No.
But I would be interested in seeing other stuff, though.
There's got to be fan favorite Eddie, right?
Yes.
And the bats and like all that stuff. So that's definitely going to be there. So
that's probably the single thing that I'm most interested in trying to figure out how they're going to pull that off.
Yeah.
I'm also extremely interested to see if we even have any mention or showing of the Russia storyline. I assume not.
I don't think we need to.
I would be a little surprised, frankly. It doesn't really make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But so I am curious to see what direction they go with the actual house. But I would assume most of it is going to take place in Hawkins.
Yep.
And we're going to have our characters go into the Upside Down, and we're going to follow them into the Upside Down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to fight Vecna. I would assume that would be the route they would take.
Yeah.
I think that Vecna makes for a very compelling case for a cool, scary, big bad character. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting.
Kind of like the Pumpkin Lord, right?
Yeah, so I was thinking Pumpkin Lord. I was thinking you could also have a bungee jumping Vecna if you wanted to. And it would actually logically track. So yeah, it'll be fun.
So there's a couple like interesting firsts. So first of all, The Last of Us not being based on the show, being based on the video game. It's our first video game house that I can actually remember. I don't know if they've ever done a video game house ever.
So I guess the big question was the Silent Hill.
Oh,
Were they video game houses or were they based on the movies? I don't know.
Fascinating.
Because I was not going to HHN at that time.
Yeah.
So I was just not certain.
Yeah, HHN house. When was that? What year was it?
Oh, that would have been, so that's before my time. So we're talking at least HHN 24, 23, somewhere in that window. So it was right. Just before I started going, because I've never seen a video game house since I've been attending HHN.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's see. I think that The Last of Us, obviously with the character design alone, makes for an excellent opportunity. Mm-hmm. There have also been rumors floating around from John Murdy, who's the person out in California who oversees HHN out there, mm-hmm. that they are bringing the bloater to life.
Oh, shit.
And if they're bringing bloaters to life, that would have to be a very interesting practical effect if it's going to work, because otherwise it'll just be a giant monster that's like, it'll be like Brendan Fraser in The Whale, just like sitting in the corner. And I just don't think that's what they're going to do.
Ooh, spooky.
Ooh, no, it's Brendan Fraser. He just wants his cup of coffee.
Good call.
I think that they're going to actually have characters in giant inflatable outfits. Now, how long are those set lists going to be? Is it going to be every time you run through the house, you get it? I don't know. Man. This might be one that will be important to do in the first like couple weeks of the event.
Right.
Or important to do in the latter half of the event, because they will either drop it if it's not working, or they won't have it working until the end of the event. It'll be very curious to see how that goes. Regardless, clickers, terrifying.
Yes.
Already, like anybody who's been infected by the mushroom apocalypse is terrifying. There's plenty of stuff to dive into. From what I heard, it's going to be taking place primarily in Kansas City.
Okay.
Is an interesting choice.
Okay.
It's very different than the version in the show.
Okay.
I'm sorry. From what I understand, it's going to be Pittsburgh from the game, which was Kansas City in the show.
Okay.
And they basically serve the same narrative function, but Pittsburgh in the show, in the game was very just like you went through an abandoned hotel.
Yeah,
for a big chunk of that section of the game. And so it was terrifying, and there were bloaters, and it was scary. But I also don't know how you can fully recreate that version of the world. So I am curious. I am very curious.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. So Pittsburgh, actually, if you've ever been there, it's actually a perfect city to like try to wait out the apocalypse, because like it's surrounded by rivers. So you just get rid of the bridges and like sit in the middle of Pittsburgh. Like,
well, and that's actually almost a point of the plot is that they have to go into the city because the bridge is like trapped, is like sectioned off. And so they go into the city and they get attacked by people who are scavenging and who kill other humans for their goods. And then they, of course, they're still infected.
I'll have to play it. I own it. I just have never played it, so I gotta get down to it.
Yes, I actually have just finished the Pittsburgh section of the game at the time of this recording.
Cool.
So I just need to finish it off because I'm not far from the end. But it is very different from the show. If you watch the show, it is there's enough differences where I'm very curious to see where they dive into some stuff.
Absolutely. So the next one that's really interesting is that they're putting in a house and creating a house based on a movie that for most of the HHN will have not released yet.
I see what they're doing. I understand why they're doing it.
Sure.
And I can, based on the trailer that was playing in front of Oppenheimer this week.
Yeah.
It looks scary. Like, it does look scary.
Yeah.
But, and I will say, that seems to by itself be a point of contention. People are like, well, it doesn't look as scary as The Exorcist. And I'm like, well, I mean, okay, like, let's take a minute and remember this is probably not going to be like one of the five greatest horror films in the history of the genre.
Yeah.
Just like the many, many other Halloween movies are not as great as Halloween.
Right.
I'm just saying, like,
Right. It's not going to live up to the original. Can we like cut it some slack?
Okay. So let's lower the expectations a little bit.
Yeah.
I am curious to see how it pulls through. I'm curious to see what they're interested in doing. And obviously David Gordon Green, you and I did not really like Halloween Ends. Yeah. So that's a little bit of the director again.
Oh man.
Okay. So, but he did his Halloween trilogy. Mm-hmm. I would argue two out of the three we liked.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a chance. Right. Now, as a house, I think this could be vastly more successful than as a movie. Mm-hmm. So that's possible. Yeah. And we're going to have to hope that's the case, because if it tries to get all like, hey, do you get this reference? We're not going to. Of the time it's in theaters. So
also it's like you can't really spoil it, because like it's not even fair, like it's not even Twitter or X, whatever, fucking
like, not gonna talk about it.
But like the biggest thing is that like you can't really spoil it, because it's not even like it would be inappropriate to talk about spoilers, because it is, first of all, isn't even out, and then halfway through the event it just came out. So I'm interested to see what they do based on a movie that like they really can't spoil, that they're going to want you to go see and then build a house off of it. It's interesting. It's like,
but it's still going to have to be compelling enough.
Yeah.
To after make the movie comes the movie. Out.
Yeah.
That you are then going to want to come to the house again.
Exactly. So it might be like, you know, it's actually a pretty interesting marketing thing where it's like, you know, okay, you go to HHN at the beginning of the event, then you see the movie, and then you're like, oh shit, I kind of want to walk through that again. I wonder if that's sort of like the idea. Maybe like it's like replayability.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also something about the brand, The Exorcist, stands out. It is inherently, even if you have no idea what the actual movie is going to entail, you know the concept of what The Exorcist is or what kind of stories they tell.
And if you look at the advertising, it says The Exorcist, and it's very clearly there. And then underneath, it's very opaque, and it says Believer. Like,
yeah, I think they are frankly just hoping that like 90% of the people just show up thinking it's going to be an Exorcist house, and it's actually the sequel.
Yeah. So the big thing is, well, the super sequel, because aren't there like three? Like
there are several Exorcist movies. Yes.
So
I believe it's The Heretic.
Sure.
Exorcist 3, just outright.
Sure.
And then I feel like there's one more, like an Exorcist Beginnings kind of movie, or Exorcist Origins, or something.
A little off topic. Did you get to see the show? I actually liked it.
The show on NBC. I just feel like it's very difficult to port that over to NBC. Now, granted, it worked for Hannibal.
Sure.
So I didn't really see a lot of the show. No.
Yeah. I saw it when it was on Hulu. I didn't actually watch it on network television, but
I gotcha.
But I actually thought it was interesting, but you're right. It like there was too much like not talking to horror fans and talking to the general population type of stuff. So
yeah.
Anyways, so The Exorcist, I think my general take on it is that I'm interested. I think something that we should talk about is the last Exorcist house, and they did a really, really cool, dope job with it, right?
Yeah, I think that they more or less delivered what you would want an Exorcist house to be,
right?
Without it being too weird or too off-putting.
Right.
The thing about it is, obviously, they're not going to have a girl masturbate with a crucifix, right?
Like,
that's not gonna happen. They're also not going to. It also is in the movie form is about a girl who's confined to her bedroom. Yeah. So in terms of a house, a haunted house, there's only limited things you can do with it. Now, it's interesting about this version is we know for a fact that girls get lost in the woods for at least a part of the story.
Yeah.
So who knows? We could.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Things. Yeah, they did a lot of really interesting stuff with like open windows in the house and like the flashing subliminal messages and all that type of stuff, which was really cool. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here. So
yeah, it's also just like side note, very interesting is William Friedkin is releasing another movie this year. The guy who directed the original Exorcist.
Oh,
so he's still out there working.
Wow, good for him.
An old man, he's still working out. So
an old decrepit creep.
I want to say he's like in his like mid-80s or early 90s. Yeah.
I do not want to be working in my 80s and 90s. That's
what I mean, if you get to make movies, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right. So then the last one. Yeah, the last IP house, quote unquote, is going to be Universal Monsters Unmasked. You descend into the Paris catacombs where you and your squad will face a new horde of monsters. Dr. Jekyll,
are we
Mr.
a squad?
Hyde. We're a squad, right?
We're a squad, dude. Go
ahead. So it's going to be Jekyll and Hyde, Phantom of the Opera, Hunchback of Notre Dame, and the Invisible Man. So we're tossing all of the other Universal monsters into a single house. I don't know. Where's Creature, guys?
Yeah.
Are we any Creature? Like
I know.
I mean, he deserves his own house.
No, so I agree.
I don't necessarily want him in this one, but like... Right.
That's kind of disappointing, right? That's one of the best originals, Universal movies is Creature Lock Lagoon. So
I mean, this is still a very interesting house. I'm very, very pumped for this. I'm just happy there's no Dracula, if I'm being 100% honest.
No,
they could have very easily shoehorned Dracula into this one, and they didn't. So I am curious. I'm also curious to see if they're going to try to do the each coast gets a slightly different story thing. Mm-hmm. Because if they do, at least this year, I can tell you if it was worth it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping they don't do that.
Yeah, this is really cool. I love these Unmasked, these Universal Monsters, because they're lightly based on properties, but they literally can do whatever they want. So they're like borderline IP houses. They're using IPs, but they get to do whatever they want. They can tell any story they want.
Yeah, I mean, the Bride House was extremely stylized the year that it came out. The story of Wolfman last year, Wolfman and Mummy, was very different than any of the movies. So that is the cool thing, is they can essentially invent their own narrative using iconic characters. Mm-hmm. It'd be fun to see them do that in the future with other known IP that they have rights to.
Right.
But at the moment, this is very cool what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. When do these things hit public domain? Because like they're starting to get there, aren't they?
So the whole deal with the Universal monsters is the monsters themselves don't hit public domain for a while.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's like their designs of the monsters. But like the idea of Frankenstein... is available for anybody to do at any point in time.
Yeah.
But the Universal design of Frankenstein is not available.
Got it. That's interesting.
So stuff like that, that's the nuance, right? It's like the Universal's depiction of the Creature of the Black Lagoon is different than the Creature of the Black Lagoon in Monster Squad.
Sure.
Like that's the difference.
Okay, that makes sense. That's such a funny, like that makes sense to me. I appreciate that.
All right, so then we have some of the original houses, which I think are the ones that you and I are mostly excited for. Let's go ahead and kick it off with our icon this year, Dr. Oddfellow's Twisted Origins. We get to find out some stuff about Oddfellow. Ryan, you were just doing some of your research into the Oddfellow character. You go ahead and kind of tell us some of that.
So AJ was sort of saying that when he went on earlier today that they just had the HHN 10. So there was some minor information about him and Jack and some backstory. But when we just checked again, it seems that each of the scare zones have their own story in the wiki right now. Which is pretty cool.
That appears to be that's how he's going to be running the event as a whole, is we'll be seeing him not only in his own house, but then every single one of our scare zones is tied to him in some way.
Right. So I think when we go over the scare zones, maybe we can go over the backstories, because some of these are really freaking cool. So
I think that's a good point. But just basically think of it like this. It's going to be something along the lines of kind of freak show-esque.
Yeah.
And quote, "You won't be able to resist going inside Dr. Oddfellow's menacing menagerie of twisted oddities, but the price for you and your friends is steep. The cost of your souls to feed his immortal power."
So I do like this sort of like the picture they have up here of him is kind of like this New Orleans kind of like French American yes, sort of like voodooish kind of face.
Yes, I like that. I like the top hat design. I love the overall font that they're using. And then in the background of the actual image for the house, you can see Zodiac
signs,
which is going to be one of the scare zones when we talk about it. So
yes,
very excited for that.
But it seems like they're really leaning into the Zodiac signs, which is kind of cool, like to see what they do with that. So yeah, sure. We have no idea what the house is going to be really at this point. It's probably going to be a menagerie of all the scare zones is how I kind of see it, maybe a little bit.
Yep. So this is the one that I think everybody's just like most curious about. Anybody who has been going to Universal for a long time.
Dueling Dragons,
Choose Thy Fate. Yeah. I am curious how much they're going to abide by that logic. Are we going to choose the ice or fire side? If they do, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That line's going to be insane because you'd have to go through it twice. Everyone would.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Two warlocks of great power were turned into dragons after trying to take Merlin's spellbook. Now you and your friends are caught in their epic battle. You must choose a path and a victor.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I'm very curious.
It would be
interesting if we technically are getting an 11th house by splitting a dueling dragon's house in two.
That would be kind of cool.
Now the question is it going to be good?
Yeah, that's another question too. Yeah,
it's a very big question that we do have to address.
I'm like interested. I mean, the biggest thing is we're going to have puppets, right? We're going to have callbacks to the rooms and the catacombs.
I would assume, yes.
That we had walking through Dueling Dragons. I don't know. My mind is running on all the things about choosing a path and a victor. It could just be a moniker. Like, it's just not really fucking meaning anything. You know what I mean?
Right. Same house in the same general vibe. It's just... Right. Depending on which like quote path you take, it's like the rooms are the same, there's different colors.
Yeah,
exactly. If there's even that, you may not be able to choose a path at all.
It might just be like, you know, when they had the super icon house, and
I was about to say at the end only one of them was
up there.
Yeah
So it might be something like that, where it's like a faux choice, a faux path, like, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but it would be cool if
I would love some interactive houses. That'd be so dope.
And I was also gonna say it wouldn't be crazy, because like Freddy versus Jason was the same way, right?
Yeah,
that Freddy and Jason used walked through Camp Crystal Lake into Freddy's nightmares, and then you saw the two of them fight, and then just randomly at the end of the house, you had a victor. Same deal last year, also with the Universal Monsters house.
Yeah,
you walk through, and at the end of the house, random person won. It could just be that.
Could be. So we'll see. I mean, like you said, I think this is the one I'm the most skeptical of. Like, it seems very nostalgia-y based, and you know, I don't know if they're just going to lean into people being like, oh, I remember this from childhood, or if it's actually going to be fucking good. So we'll see.
Yep. Great point. Now, the next one I'm pretty pumped for is Yeti Campground Kills. I am down for any kind of campground adventure.
Yes.
I like the last Yeti house. I think I was one of the few who did.
Sure. What was Yeti house?
I think that was the year you missed.
Probably.
I want to say that was the year you missed. Yeah. Uh-huh. But regardless, I mean, you know, Yeti, Swamp Ape, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
A monster terrorizing a campground overrun by huge menacing Yetis who rip apart everyone who gets in their way. You must flee to the Ranger Tower to escape. First of all, I'm not sure it's going to help you escape. There's going to be a Ranger Tower. They're just going to know where you're at then.
I know. And also, aren't they apes? They're just going to be able to come up the Ranger Tower.
I mean, I guess you can say, like, oh, maybe a helicopter's going to come get you, but probably not.
There's already holes in here.
I am just excited about the idea of, if you can't get Jason on the year that there's going to be a Friday the 13th house.
Yeah.
Or the Friday the 13th falls.
Right.
During the event in October of all
times. Yeah, I know.
At least we have a monster running amok in a campground.
No, I agree with that. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see. This old Yeti house in the ice looks really freaking cool.
Yeah.
So,
the next one, The Darkest Deal. Fame is fleeting. So cool. Fear is forever. Yeah. Blues musician Pine Straw Spruce will have to face the music after meeting with the collector and trading his soul for music glory. You and your squad will learn the terrible price of fame.
I'm going to call out the squad because I just hate it. Like,
You are not alone in hating the squad. Now, I will say what I think is interesting about this is you and I, in the episode that just released the day of recording this, where we did our A24 draft, and we talked about Pearl, and we're like, you would be really cool, more Dust Bowl horror.
Yeah.
And HHN coming through, baby.
We brought this into existence. That's synchronicity.
I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to say that we, like, conjured this.
Yes.
Like, you know, Pine Straw Spruce conjuring the devil.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, I'm excited about this. I mean, all of their, like, Western... Dust Bowl-y horror like sets have been so fucking cool. So
I'm just gonna make sure that we get t-shirts that just say Pine Straw Spruce, yes. And that's it.
Like, I love that. Just like Pine Straw Spruce Band or something.
Pine Straw Spruce Groupies.
Yes.
Boom.
I love that.
No, I'm super pumped by this idea. Yeah. I mean, it's Daniel, it's the devil and Daniel Webster. It's Devil Went Down to Georgia. It's all of those things rolled into a single house. This is going to be fun. That's all I care about. This is going to be really interesting and cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
And our last house of the year is going to be Blood Moon Dark Offerings.
Yes.
So colonial era village, moon worshippers witness a blood moon at their fall festival. Take it as a sign to hunt down any non-followers, including you and your Scream Squad.
God damn it. They just won't let go of it. Like,
this sounds like The Witch.
Yeah, I'm
again,
excited.
And then they call back to our last episode. Yeah. It sounds like The Witch straight up.
I'm excited for this one. This one I'm excited about. I think about the Chupacabra, where it wasn't just the Chupacabra coming after you. It was the like followers of the Chupacabra chasing you down.
Yep.
So I'm excited for this one. And the feel of it feels kind of like Lovecraftian, which I'm excited about as well. Like,
I'm curious to see which direction they head in. Right? I'm very curious to see which way they go.
Yeah, because they don't really have any Lovecraft. I guess like Stranger Things has some Lovecraftian twinges to it. So
I mean, my worry is that it's just going to lean into the witch stuff.
Mm.
And if it leans into the witch stuff, last year, last year it feels like the further away I got from it and the more runs I got into it, that
the witch, the brew one.
Yeah, the witch's brew coven.
Spirit one, yeah.
Yeah, it got less and less. It got worse as the season went on. Like, you saw it when it was like probably at its peak, and it just like never really stayed at that level. It just kind of like everybody got worn out.
Yeah.
And they were having, I don't know, I've heard rumors about stuff going on behind the scenes at that house.
Mm.
That is neither here nor there.
Sure.
The point is that like the intensity of that house dwindled as the season went on. That's and became one of the rougher houses of the year.
Aww.
Which is frustrating because I really like the overall design.
Yeah.
I just think maybe the house is a little too long and that
it
didn't fully live up to its potential.
No. I love the slow transformation from like flapper to like witch and all of those sorts of things. But I think you're right on walking through, like, I don't know, bottles of like barrels full of like, I don't know, like bootleg booze just was totally unnecessary. Like, like, I feel like it could have ended in that room where it was like the dope queen witch, you know what I mean? And like that it would have been fine. But I'm interested to see what happens here. It'll be interesting.
I was going to say, I'm going to keep my heart open for it because it's always the house you least expect that like sneaks up on you.
The one thing I'm upset about is their moon worshippers witness the blood moon, but like I wish they were summoning something during the blood moon. That would be
how do you know they're not?
You're right. I hope they are.
Yeah. All right. So we have five scare zones as well. I'm gonna run through all five real quick. And that way we can kind of just touch quick base on them because we know that Dr. Oddfellow is involved with all of them this year. Okay.
Yep.
So the first one, Dr. Oddfellow's Collection of Horror. Dr. Oddfellow will lure you into Halloween Horror Nights with a promise of immortality. As he lifts the veil on all the horrors to come, you'll soon realize you may not even survive the night.
Oof.
Then we have Dark Zodiac. Dr. Oddfellow has entered a dark dimension to harness the power of Zodiac and can live forever. He twists the signs into malevolent beings who foretell your doom. As his star rises, yours falls. That sounds dope as hell.
Yeah, can I read the description of the Zodiac?
Yeah, like, go for it.
In the wiki?
Yeah.
So in 1939, during the Dust Bowl, Dr. Oddfellow set up his carnival in a small rural Midwest town. There, he mutilated hundreds of people, some of which were his own performers, turning their bodies into grotesque versions of the Zodiac signs. He burned down all the posters and advertisements in the name of his carnival to cover his tracks and created Zodiac symbols all over the carnival. Their symbols contained great amount of power. Additionally, he drew the same symbols on his face during this time, as well as a larger symbol on his back featuring the elements of all 12 Zodiac signs. This ritual granted him power of immortality of the and of the Zodiacs.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's going to be these like fucking twisted ass fucking creatures that he created of like Zodiacs. Like,
yeah, that sounds really interesting, yeah. Especially given the third scare zone, mm-hmm. which is in the 1920s, Dr. Oddfellow ventured deep into the darkest jungle, yes. performing horrific experiments on nature. Now his monstrous creations are running amok and are coming after you. So yes. It sounds like he tried this before, it yep. didn't fully work, and then so he did it again in the Zodiac, and then that's mm-hmm. how he gained his power.
Yeah, and so the big thing here is that they talk about going into the ancient jungle, the Jungle of Doom, where he, yeah, so that's like going to be really interesting. The Jungle of Doom, isn't that something they did during one of the HHNs where they were in
islands?
Islands. But it doesn't look like they're associated. Yeah.
I don't know.
At least on the
wiki. That was not when I was coming. So yeah. It's possible that that's the case. Yeah. It would have made sense for something like Jurassic Park to have been in the Jungle of Doom.
Mm-hmm. Preceded by Jungle of Doom 2003.
Well, yeah, that's... Okay, so it is tying all the way back to one of the old houses then.
Yeah, six.
Or scare zones, yeah.
HHN 6, it was a house, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's interesting.
It yeah, the Triceratops raises... Discovery Trail back in Islands Adventure.
Okay, mm-hmm. cool. That actually makes it more interesting to me.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. Number one, it means they could bring back some of those creature designs.
Yeah.
Number two, this one is taking place in the area that's normally like trick or treat or one of the smaller scare zones mm-hmm. between Hollywood and the World Expo and like the kids zone area. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what that's going to turn into and how immersive they're going to get. Yeah. And if it's going to spill over into what normally would have been the kids zone area, because mm-hmm. that's blocked off.
Mm.
Because I just realized you may not know this, Ryan, but kids zone's gone.
Really?
There's walls up. They're putting in a new DreamWorks experience.
For oh, that's summer. Right. They were showing. Yeah. You were telling me about that.
Yes. So, Kid Zone, everything but ET is gone. So
they kept ET. Okay. It's the last of like our movies and our like parents giving us movies type of thing, right?
I'm gonna have to talk to you about something off mic after the episode, but we'll talk to that. But anyway, cool. So. I'm very pumped for the idea of a jungle scare zone.
Yeah.
The execution is going to matter a lot. Yeah. Now, already pictures have been leaking of it being very like almost like Indiana Jones running through in terms of like ancient like designs and
where's it going to be columns. Located?
It's that area between if you're walking towards Simpsons. From the Hollywood area. Yeah, from like...
Oh, so it's the really... That's a perfect area with the trees.
I was going to say, it's going to be very immersive because there's already so much overgrowth in the area in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
So, all right, and then we're going to have Vamp 69, Summer of Blood.
Nice, yeah.
At a 60s music fest in a small New England town, you'll jam to popular bands with fellow concert goers until Dr. Oddfellow unleashes vicious vampires on the audience. They're out for your blood. Oof. So, yeah, I mean, we love the Vamp series. Yeah. This is where Vamp 85 was all those years ago.
Yeah.
And by all those years ago, I mean like four.
Yeah.
No, I think this is a perfect place to put this. If you're going to do Woodstock 69 with Vamp,
yeah.
with vampires, I mean, I'm kind of sold.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The backstory to this is like fucking weird as shit. So,
okay.
Dr. Oddfellow disguised himself as a vampire named Irlo Wolf. In order to infiltrate a secret group of vampires, he made up a backstory in which he claimed to be a circus worker whose circus was attacked by vampires in 1938, causing him to turn into one himself. He successfully fooled the vampire council that he was a vampire. In 1968, Oddfellow, now as part of the council, stands up to the fellow council, Olato, demanding that
that he let the vampires go in a frenzy and feed on whoever they please without restraints. As he does this, the symbol on his head glows for the moment, then fades. He did all of this in order to gain power over Alato in the council. I don't know what the glowing head stuff is about, but that's interesting.
Sure.
In 1969, Dr. Oddfellow unleashed the vampires during the music festival in a small town in New York, causing mass destruction and chaos. It's also heavily implied that Dr. Oddfellow killed and sacrificed Alato and used his blood to increase his own power over the vampire. Dude, this guy's like fucking dark. Like, this character is like really fucked up. Like,
yeah, he's real dark, which is good for us, but also gonna be fun. Gonna be interesting. Yeah. And the last scare zone of the year is gonna be Shipyard 32, Horrors Unhinged. Enter a 1940s San Francisco shipping yard full of mysterious crates and cages bearing Dr. Oddfellow's symbol.
Oof.
Beware, his nightmarish oddities have now escaped, spreading fear and chaos in their wake. Yeah. All I want is just more of like The Fog, more of Dead Man's Wharf monsters with Oddfellow control, whatever.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just give it
to me. Give it to me. So this one's gonna looks like since they're saying San Francisco, it looks like it might be in San Francisco area.
Yeah, I would go out on a limb and assume that. So if we're talking Vamp 69 is in New York, which is makes sense. And that also is where the tribute store will certainly be.
Nice.
Especially with the news that they're keeping the Jurassic Park one open until the end of August.
Wow.
That means they're not gonna be able to close that one and redo it. So for reference, for anybody who has not been to Universal recently, normally there's a tribute store in the New York area of the park that is just a seasonal store, changes over the course of the year. And then they recently have opened a new version of the tribute store in the Hollywood section of the park, which with what used to be the VIP lounge and the Williams of Hollywood collector store, they've now turned that into the new tribute store. They've used it for a couple in a row now.
Yeah,
but it's not as big, and so I think they're moving back to the New York location and doing it up for HHN while keeping the Jurassic Park one open as long as they can.
Fascinating.
Just maximize the number of stores you can have open.
Yeah, makes sense. Cool. I mean, what are out of these scare zones? Which ones are you the most interested in out of all of them?
So I think on its base level, the Dark Zodiac sounds like the one that is going to be the best one.
Yes.
Now, I could also see a world where it's fine and I just don't love swinging by it all the time.
Yeah.
And I could see Vamp 69 being the chill out version.
Right.
Like if they throw in some really fun music.
Yeah.
You have some vampires playing Jimi Hendrix and some good old White Rabbit, like it could be a really fun little area. So I think that's possible.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I am most excited for the Zodiac signs as well. I think that is going to be really, really interesting to see what they do. I think it's going to be like, I think a lot of people are going to want to take pictures with their Zodiac signs. So I have no idea what the fuck that's going to look like.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I mean, that's obviously the most photogenic outright.
Yeah.
Between the amount of space that's there, between people, like you said, hunting down their individual Zodiacs.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting stuff to do there. Yeah. And then I'm also just curious what the Dr. Oddfellows is going to look like. Is it going to be characters from the park, from the houses wandering into the just wandering around the what is now Minions Land?
I think it's going to be like it has been in the past, where it's just that area where it's that everything in the park,
right?
It's like the entrance, everything in the park type
If it is different, that would be exciting.
That would be awesome. I would love for them to do something different. Like,
but if it's just the characters from throughout the houses, so you can get photo ops of them, then it is what it is. I'm leaning between Vamp 69 and Dark Zodiac being the obvious number ones.
Yeah,
but I mean, don't sleep on Shipyard or Jungle of Doom being high up on that list either.
Yeah,
the other thing that is not mentioned here, and I've been hearing a lot of rumors about it at this point, and I credit to other HHN podcasts like Fear and Beer or HHN 365 is the one that I listen to the most.
Sure.
That there is supposedly going to be a roaming Megan horde that is going to be in the Springfield area, but may periodically pop into other areas of the park throughout the night.
Dude, so, that'd be so awesome.
If little Megans are dancing and attacking people throughout the night, that could be very fun.
Nice. I would love that.
Non-official scare zone. And then, as we talked about earlier in the podcast, you add in Dementors over in Harry Potter, and all of a sudden, or not Dementors, but Death Eaters.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Dementors. I don't know. That'd be pretty fucking dope, too.
Sure. Yeah.
Then you suddenly have a whole park experience that's bigger than other years, which is good because, surprise, Nightmare Fuel Revenge Dream is back.
Yeah. And what's that?
How much more fire can those girls
throw? Oh, God.
Is the question.
Are they promising more fire than they have the last two years?
I mean, it's called Nightmare Fuel Revenge Dream. I don't know.
Is it going to be the same show? I feel like it's literally the same show. Interesting.
I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see if it's going to be different.
Yeah.
It's not a must-do attraction for me. I mean, I will do it during the run.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a snob. But, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be the first thing. I'm not going to go stand in line.
And it's always fun. It's just that they've done the exact – it's obviously not the exact same show, right? But it's the exact same premise.
I mean, last year, it was basically the same as the year before.
Right.
But then they added extra fire.
Yeah, there was actually more fire. But they did promise more fire. Did I think there was enough fire to say there was more fire? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a pyrotechnic. I'm not a pyroman, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not pyroman. I can't judge the fire. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, it's a fun show. It's a good break from the scares. It's not the scariest thing. There's kink stuff and sexy stuff and fire stuff and all that type of stuff in there. So it's fun. It's interesting, adult. And so I like it. I do miss Bill and Ted, but you know, not everything stands the test of time. So we get it. Like,
yep. So even so, like, there's still a lot of interesting stuff for us to be pumped for at this year's HHN. And that's really all that matters, is that we have a really nice lineup for this year. And I think that, is it going to be an all-time year? Maybe not. Like, last year was really, really good. So if they can live up to that level, I mean, I'll be thrilled.
So another thing that's interesting, Cabana Bay turning into Chucky's Twisted Playground, I'm just seeing here now.
Okay, so they're probably the bar again.
Yeah, so they're doing that bar, but they're not doing the icons, I guess. Is that where that Cabana Bay was?
The Cabana Bay one was the icon one from a few years ago. So I'm wondering if we will also get Dead Coconut 2. I'm assuming we will.
I love Dead Coconut. That was fun.
I'm assuming that we'll get it again because it was too popular for them to not bring that back.
Where's Cabana Bay? Where is that?
Cabana Bay is one of the resorts that's just like, it's not the high level resort. It's the like family value tier.
Huh.
So it's like a 1950s themed, like a surfer, like Beach Boys style resort. It's fun. I like it. It's good enough for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not something that I go out of my way to do.
Yeah.
And you also don't get like the express when you stay there. Because it's not a premium resort, so like you get the other benefits of staying at the resort, you just don't get the coolest one.
Well, the other piece of Halloween Horror Nights that I'm interested in is the merchandise, and I don't think there's much out there right now.
Yeah, they've been doing the individual houses as they've released. I really like the Last of Us designs.
Mm-hmm.
I was much colder on the Stranger Things design.
Yeah.
I'm pretty cold on the Exorcist one that dropped today, mostly because I keep putting it in white.
Yeah.
I love the design. I just want it on a black t-shirt. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I understand that not everything can be dark and goth for me. I understand. But also...
But you'd like it to be.
Yes. I would very much... I want my thing...
Yeah.
The way that I like it.
Right. I hear you. So there's going to be tons of merch that'll come out. And we'll definitely be talking about Halloween Horror Nights in the future, too, as to, like, what's going on and how it went and all that type of stuff. So,
yes. So I think we're probably going to do a double episode soon, so you can get the HHN. For the HHN fans, you'll get your episode. And then everybody else is probably also going to be listening to a Gremlins episode. Woo! So keep an eye out for that in the very near future. We may drop two in a week. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, in the meantime, guys, stay spooky, and let's get ready for HHN.
Yeah. Keep it spooky, y'all.
Peace.